65. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's all stand together. Let's have a word of prayer this evening as we get started. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time tonight. Thankful for the privilege that we have to be gathered together here in your house tonight and for each one that's come. And Lord, that we might lift up our prayers together and individually. And then, Lord, that we would be drawn to your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this time tonight. And for the classes behind us, Lord, pray that you'd bless now. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
All right. Good evening, everybody. A full house. It's good. And good to have the young ones here tonight. Not in the back, but in here joining us in prayer. It's a blessing to be up here. I want to start off with the prayer request again. I kind of misunderstood how these were supposed to go. So Miss Cookie and I got to share, and I'm going to praise the Lord on this one. She had handed me this on Sunday. I didn't give it to Pastor to put it in the prayers, but I guess her and I were praying strong. What she had asked for is Tony Price had issues with his vehicle, and he needed his vehicle repaired to be able to work. And the Lord answered all of those prayers between Sunday and now. So his vehicle is working. He is working. And that was what she specifically asked for. And the Lord answered our prayer. It was a blessing. So hopefully continue to pray that his car stays working and that he does well in his new job. And then also I was looking at, we have the Myers family, missionaries for the week. A few of the things on John's letter that he put out, multiple prayers that they're asking us to pray for, kind of specifics. But let's just, Pastor had asked me to pull out these three, travel mercies and finishing deputation and being able to return in November of 2026 to the field. And then for Josh, their son, who's in the army in Germany. And then for Rena and Daniel, homeschool in the RV. So let's hit those three specifically that the Lord, again, blesses the family. Certainly, He's called them to do a work, and we have to be able to help them, and that's what we've done. And again, every time I think of this, what we've done in Faith Promise is just amazing. And I'm going to praise the Lord every week for what He's done at this little church to be able to put that money out, add new missionaries, and support the gospel to go around the world. So if we can hit those. And then also inside on the prayer list here, we have praising the wedding that took place this past weekend. To see this place that full, that was amazing. And then getting everybody parked, it's like now we know it can be done. So if the Lord brings them, we'll put them somewhere and get them in here. But to see the pews and the back rows filled in the chairs, that was amazing. So my prayers is that we can have that every week. We just need to keep bringing people in. And if we're the light that we need to be, we're going to get them to come. We have to show our heart that we want our community to come here. And the Lord will bring them in if we continue to pray that. And then just look through that list tonight as you're praying. Take the time to hit those. We have a work week Saturday coming up. Anybody who's there, we just ask the Lord, keep us safe and doing what we need to do, reaching out and again to the community and helping someone to get a house painted. So anybody that is 9 o'clock start on Saturday. And if anybody has any questions, I think Eddie's kind of doing the bigger part tomorrow. So just keep him in prayer for safety, power washing and doing stuff like that. It's kind of a lot of work, but just we ask the Lord to bless your efforts and keep you safe as you're doing that. And then with that, I will take up a request. If you didn't get a chance to put one in, anybody have anything new or to add from what we have written down? Correct. Gotcha. So, but yeah, safety for everyone involved in that. Do we have anything else? Anybody have a praise? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. All right, let's break up and find someone to pray with and continue to pray for all of our missionaries also, if you don't mind. All right.
Amen. Amen. Wow, we're getting done with prayer earlier. What are we going to do with the extra time? I just trust that we'll figure something out, right? Proverbs chapter 20, chapter 2 tonight. Proverbs and chapter 2. And we were talking about the voice of wisdom. Wisdom is doing some things. Wisdom is calling. And we're going to look at this, read this verse, and then we'll get into some things, the introduction and so forth. Chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So through these first two chapters, what we find is this. We talked about wisdom is calling, right? Hey, Hayden, right? Okay, Hayden's, I see you're paying attention to me. I appreciate you. He's tuned in. He's calling. Wisdom is calling us to calling out to us. Wisdom is warning us of the dangers, instructing us, protecting us, delivering us. We've talked about all these things. And so I want us to understand something tonight. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs here, of course, the Lord is using Solomon. When we say Solomon, he's the pen, and he is the one that got the personality that God's using, but it's the Spirit of God, right? We understand that? Amen. Amen. So Solomon is not simply teaching his son how to avoid trouble, right? If all we did is avoid trouble, that would still be a problem, wouldn't it? Well, I didn't get in trouble. You know, I'll say to people a lot of times, you staying out of trouble, right? You staying out of trouble, yeah. I'll say that. You staying out of trouble, and I say that to these boys. I say it all the time, you know, staying out of trouble, or I'll say keep out of trouble, and it's really kind of just something to be funny. But if the best we do is stay out of trouble, that's really not good enough, is it? It's not really good enough. So Solomon isn't just teaching him how to avoid trouble. He's teaching his son what kind of man to become, right? He's teaching him what kind of man that he should become. And so after showing what wisdom protects from and delivers from, it's what we looked at last week, Solomon is now going to reveal what wisdom is trying to produce, right? It's not just what it keeps us from. It's not enough that we just didn't do bad stuff. Well, I went all week without sinning. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. There's sometimes, you know, I'm just glad I made it all day without being mean to somebody. Didn't make that. That's not today. But tomorrow I'm going to try again. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes there's this thing. But if all you did, you know, somebody isn't a great person because they just didn't do anything bad. That's not all. Solomon isn't trying to just get us. I just hope they don't. You know, I just hope my son doesn't end up in prison. I've had parents tell me that. I've had parents tell me the greatest thing they're hoping with their kids is that they don't end up in prison. And I thought, well, that's a pretty low bar. That's a pretty low bar. I hope my kids don't end up in prison, but that would be a very tragic way to go through life. And so that's not what Solomon's trying to teach his son. Just stay out of trouble. I'm just going to try to help you get out of trouble. No, it's more than that. He wants to help him to see and understand what he should become, right? What he should become. So wisdom is not simply trying to keep us from the wrong path. It's trying to put us on the right one. Amen? You see that? All right, let's get into this. Number one, wisdom is seeking to produce a certain kind of life. Okay? It's trying to produce a certain kind of life. Again, in verse 20, it says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Okay, so A, the goal is that thou mayest walk. Right? That thou mayest walk. Okay, he said that thou mayest walk. Now, when we talk about walk, I want us to think about something here. The, number one, under that, the emphasis is not what a man knows. Okay? By the way, we understand here, when we're talking about man, this is just to the men tonight. The ladies can take a nap. And you're out. No, when it's talking about a man, it's talking about human. Man, and often it's talking about both. And that can kind of seem weird to us. Because we, in English, it's clearly man and woman. You know, in Spanish, if there's a man and a woman, both, you call them men. In the Spanish, that's what, isn't that right? Kara's like, I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about a group of people, are you sure? Because you're the Spanish. Okay, now she's like, what are you talking about? So if there's a group of people, you would call them by the masculine. It's just the way it is. And so other languages, it's clear. Us, we're like, all right, cool, it's men. Y'all better get it right. It's humanity and people is what he's talking about here. So what he says here is this thing about the goal is walking that way and is that thou mayest walk. And here's the thing. Number one, I said this already. The emphasis is not what a man knows, but how he lives. Okay, it's not about just knowing stuff. And it feels like I say this almost every week, doesn't it? Y'all feel like that? I say that a lot, don't I? And it's almost like the Bible constantly leads us back there, isn't it? Always leading us back to this thing. It's not just knowing it is not enough. A genius or a Bible scholar can still be full of problems because knowing the truth. By the way, it's something that I've, through this study, it's something that just really keeps kind of coming into my mind is, and I've probably mentioned this a few times recently because it's something that as I grab a hold of this, I'm like, wow, this is an interesting thing, is, maybe I've said this recently, but you ever said, well, if I was in that situation, what I would do, you ever said that? We've all said that, and we sound very pious when we say it, right? Well, what I would do is, you know, I mean, I've never said, I've heard of people that said that. Right. So what we do is say something like that, but the fact is, when we get in the middle of that situation, and emotion is in there, and the pressure of the burden, and the pressure of the opportunity of the blessing is just, I mean, a lot of things happen in that moment. And what you think you would do is different than what you're going to do, right? I don't mean not do. You know what I mean? Miss Cookie like that. Okay. I appreciate it. This would be a great place for a stand-up comedian because we get a lot of good laughs, easy sometimes. We're just like kids. We say doo-doo and it's funny. Where was I at? Okay. So it's not enough to know it. You could really, really know it. You could study it and you could memorize verses. You could know all the answers. Matter of fact, that's why counselors can be really great at counseling. But you know, the truth is most psychiatrists see a therapist. No, seriously. It's a very often thing because they're like, well, I got to talk to somebody. I know that, like, why would you talk to somebody? Look at the mirror. Talk to yourself because you know all the answers. But the fact is when we get in the middle of it, it's more than knowing it. It's more than knowing it, folks. I wish I could get that across to all of us, myself included. No, it's more than knowing it. It is the purpose. Wisdom is really not about just knowing it. It's about living it. So through these chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 2, wisdom has been speaking. Wisdom has been calling, reproving, and instructing, right? I mentioned that already. A, we get down there. All of that instruction is intended to affect the direction of life. Okay? The blank on that is direction. All of the instruction that we're getting is intended, that the purpose of that is to affect the direction of our life. Okay? And this is really what it is. It's about getting us on the right path. That's exactly right. Get us on the right path. Get us on the right way. And this is what it's about. Number two, wisdom is always practical. Wisdom is always practical. Okay? So, in other words, A under that, it is not information collected for its own sake. In other words, we're not just, when we say it's practical, what I mean by that is it's something that we should practice or use, but practice fits practical. But it's something to do something with, right? When you get some information, see, this is the problem for us. This can be the problem for us, I should say. Come to church, right? You're here on a Wednesday night. How many here are tired? Yeah. A few of you aren't. Okay. Now everybody's okay. How many here are like, no, I've been waiting all day for this? Yeah. Some of y'all are like that too. Amen. Amen. How many are like, I've been waiting all day for this, but somehow now I'm tired? Right? You know what I'm saying? See how that happens? Okay, but here's the thing. Here's where it could be a problem for us. We hear the truth. We learn the truth, we know the truth, and then we just kind of keep it in our pocket, right? And sometimes what people do is, and we can all be guilty of this, is we're here to collect truth. Hopefully we're at least here for that. Now I'm just here because I'm supposed to be. All right, that's a good start. It's a good start to get here just because you're supposed to be. That's the way a lot of us start. And then once you get here, you're like, no, I want to get something. I can tell usually who's here to get something. They're tuned in differently, right? And at times they're nodding their head at the right places, and other times they're staring at me like, and you're like, no, you ain't paying. Your eyes are here, appreciate that, but they're not tuned in. You know what I mean? That's why jokes are funny, or fun. Jokes are funny, yeah. But humor is good because all of a sudden when I say something, they're like, you're like, okay, they weren't. I'll do that too. My wife will do. She'll say something to me still, right? And I'm like, oh, is she talking to me? Right? I've done that occasionally. So here's our problem, folks, is when we get this, and we intended to do was get it, we never intended for it to be used, to be practiced. And we ought to be thinking about what Solomon was wanting to give to his son. We ought to be thinking that in a way to do something with it. What does God want me to do something with? I'm going to tell you what, if you will get this thought in your mind, every time you're in church, to say, I want to know what God wants to do in my life from this message. Now, seeking that out, like you're mining it out, okay? The message is coming and you're like, what is the nugget in here, God, that you're trying? I'm going to dig this out like it's hid treasure. What are you wanting to, not just what's the truth, because I always deal with that. In the message, we go expository, we deal with what is it talking about, but mining out, what does it mean for me? That takes your work. Because I don't really intend to get, you know, I don't figure out things in your life so I can preach about them. Right? I mean, don't you wish I did that for you? No. And some of y'all are like, you don't? Feels like it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, man, I'm sure he was talking to me. I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm really not. I forget about things and I'm preaching. I'm like, oh, man, I should have said that about that. No, I'm kidding. Okay, here we go. So A, it's not information collected for its own sake. B, it is truth applied to life. It's truth applied to life. Okay, and then capital B there. Walking describes a continual direction rather than isolated decisions. Okay, walking isn't, you know, when you walk, if you see somebody walking like this, then they're kind of walking. There's this, I don't remember, one of these British shows, I don't remember what, some dumb little thing. British shows are all kind of dumb, but that's what makes them funny. And there's this one, it's the Crazy Walking Club. Has anybody ever seen that? Oh, I should send you all a video of that if I could ever find it again. It's just a little bit, and they kind of like a guy just walks strange, and another one walks funny, and the whole thing is like, it was so weird because nobody does that. When we walk kind of, you know, we all have our own gait. You can, from a distance, you can, a lot of times, you can tell if it's a man or a woman, right, by how they walk. You could tell some things about them. You could tell if it's a, if it's a teenager, by how they drag their feet. Sorry, I'm giving y'all grief tonight. And so, but you can find some things about how somebody walks, but it's not about, listen, walking is a continual direction. Rather than, well, I made a good decision one time, right? Like, it's not an isolated decision. So what I'm saying here, what we find in the Scriptures, when it's talking about your walk, it's talking about something that's a continual direction. This is the way I walk. And it's talking about our gait. It's really talking about that direction. Listen, a walk is made up of many individual steps. Okay? You get there one step at a time. We were climbing Pike's Peak. Our first time we went to climb, we've climbed it twice. That's really the definition of insanity. But the first time we were like, we should climb a mountain. And Caleb said, we should climb. I said, well, there's one. Let's go climb that one. It's like, okay. And I didn't really think about 14,000 feet is like a lot. And I think this was a Saturday. And I said, well, let's go Monday. Yeah. So we went to Walmart and got some stuff to go climb a mountain. Okay, if y'all don't know, that is not smart. When you're out of shape and you've never done it before and you thought, I tell you, we were so, so exhausted. Kara was there. It was the three of us the first time. And the second time, Joy was with us. You're like, what's wrong with y'all? I don't know. We're going to go do it again sometime. But because you know what you want to do? I think I could do better, right? Anyway, we were so exhausted. And it's just, you know what you want to do when you're exhausted? You want to lay down. Yeah, we did sometimes. It was kind of funny. I got a little time. I want to tell you the story. We're in the pathway, and we are so exhausted, we're literally laying on the ground. And people are walking by that are in shape, and they're like, are y'all okay? No. And it was there was some bad weather. They said, y'all probably better turn back. There's some bad weather. They probably thought we're going to die. Because you get up there in bad weather and it could get, you know, lightning and so forth. And we're like, no, we're fine. I can't imagine what we looked like now. But there was a point I said, there was a point, I'm telling you, and I'm not exaggerating here. There was a point that all I could do is get one foot in front of the other. One step at a time. That's all I could do because otherwise I was going to lay back down. You don't get anywhere laying down. So this thing, and I'm serious, it was so exhausting in this kind of thing. But this is what a walk is made up of, many individual steps. We just keep going in the right direction. Right? And this is what it's about. Number one, character is formed through repeated choices. Okay? You get that? Character is formed through repeated choices. It's not an isolated event. It's not like, well, no, I one time made it a good choice. That's not character. That's one time. That is not a walk. That's something. So listen, here it is. Rarely does a life change in a single dramatic moment. Now, that sometimes is the catalyst. Okay, sometimes there's a catalyst that says, this thing happens, and so I'm going to change my direction. But that's not character yet. That's actually what we're talking about here. That's getting in the right way, and amen. But it's going to take more than just one isolated decision. It's going to take really a series of repeated right decisions going in that right direction. And that's where character comes from. That's why character doesn't come overnight. You know, not teenagers, but like preteens, right? Because we got teenagers in here, we can't pick on them too much tonight. I mean, a little bit, but not too much. But preteens, they'll, I did this once, like, you know, they've done, why don't you ever trust me? They're like, well, because you do all this stuff to prove yourself. Yeah, but I cleaned my room that one time, right? Kids will do stuff like that. Y'all remember being a kid, y'all saying that? Right, we say that. Well, I did it, and like I've done it like three times now, but they don't say the number. I've been doing that, and what they mean I've been doing that is I have been for like the past short period of time compared to how long I wasn't trustworthy. And you know, sometimes kids will do that. Adults will do that too, by the way. That I have been starting to walk this walk now. You should trust me now. I should have this kind of character, but it's not really like that, is it? It takes some time, repeated things. Now, A under that. It is shaped by the direction taken day after day. Okay? Listen, character is shaped by that direction taken day after day. C, capital C there. Wisdom measures success differently than the world. Y'all having a hard time guessing the words tonight. They're not quite as intuitive. Sorry. That way you have to wait for me. You know, go ahead. Okay, so wisdom is measured different than how the world measures these kind of things. So number one, the world often measures success by possessions, right? Whoever has the most at the end wins, right? You've heard that kind of thing. By possessions or by accomplishments or recognition. I've probably told you this before. In Sri Lanka, it's a big deal to talk about your credentials and what you've done. I've done this, but I've won this award and this award. You know, I won the award for the top of my class in eighth grade. A grown adult will say that. You're like, congratulations? That's a weird thing. It's in our culture, that's weird. In their culture, it actually meant something, though, because in eighth grade is where you're really getting to go into the advanced levels and so forth. And so it is a big deal. Third grade? Third grade's another big one. What you get in third grade decides what school you get to go to, whoever scores. So they'll talk about their recognition decades ago. For us, in our culture, but the world looks at those achievements, accomplishments, and possessions. Have you ever been around people? Maybe you are these people, so if you are, sorry, but some people, so there's two kinds of people in this category I'm going to talk about. Some people that talk about how expensive something costs that they have. Yeah, this thing here cost me $850, and they're like kind of proud that they have an $850 thing. And then there's somebody else over here that says, yeah, I got it at a garage sale for 85 cents. And they're popping their suspenders in the same way. You're like, isn't it funny how we're proud on either side? Well, look how cheap I got this. Well, look how expensive mine is. I mean, there's ditches on both sides of the road. You understand? And then, it is. Because either way, it's like, look how awesome I am. Right? Look at the thing that I got. Some people are like, well, I'm a good steward. I can remember somebody was talking about going out for a cup of coffee, and they're like, oh, I can't afford that. Like, kind of insulting that you even asked them about going to get a cup of coffee. Oh, just kidding. I wouldn't either. You know what I mean? And so the world kind of measures things by possessions and by accomplishments or by recognition. But number two, wisdom measures success by the path upon which a man walks. See, wisdom measures it not by what you've done, but by where you're walking, what path you're on. The question is not simply what a man has gained, which is B. The question is what kind of man he has become. Okay? Not what have you gotten in your life? What have you done in your life? Oh man, that's a tough thing. Think about Prophet Jeremiah. So how many did you have in Sunday school this week? Yeah. How many souls have you won this week, right? How many people, did you convert to Christ? I mean, people don't say, maybe they didn't say that to Jeremiah. But if Jeremiah, he'd lost every one of those. I'd hate to have been Jeremiah. I mean, just, everybody hated him. When he said, God said, Jeremiah, go tell him that. I know Jeremiah was like, could I just have a good one, God? Just one good one every now and then, just to, and God said, no. They're not going to listen anyway. And he goes and tells them, and he goes and tells the king, and he goes and tells them, the king says, you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to put you some nice robes on, put a ring on your finger, put you on a horseback. No. You know what he said? I think I'm going to put you in a dungeon and pretty near starve you to death. Until I need something, then I'll get you up out of there, and you can help me for a minute, and then I'll throw you back away. The world looks at success different than wisdom does. And so, Roman number two. Wisdom is seeking to place us among the right influences. Okay? Among the right influences. Look again at verse 20. We're only going to get to one verse tonight. Okay? Sorry, but that's just the way it's going to work. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Okay, a wise man is directed into the way of good men. And so this is in contrast that he's talked about of evil men. We find back there in chapter 1, in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, follow me there if you will, chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are, what's that word? Crooked. And they forward in their paths. See, there's a distinction here. Their path is crooked. Their path is off. It's forward. It's their path. The idea of a crooked path isn't just, you know, it's, you know, we might think a path like that. Sometimes that's the way to get up a mountain. You go back and forth. But this is a path that they don't stay on the path. They veer off and on. They're this. And God said, what the direction I want to get you on is into the right path where there's a right and the proper influences. Look at number one under here. Influence has been a major theme in these chapters, and we just looked at those. The sinners in chapter 1 sought to influence. It's what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to influence the way and the direction. And chapter 1, verse 15, my son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You see, and so we kind of get this direction they want, but they want to influence. B, the forward man sought influence. That's what we looked at here in chapter 2. And again, the strange woman sought influence. Looked at that last week. They want influence. What's that? B, wisdom does not remove influence. I said this last week. Wisdom does not remove influence, it replaces influence. Okay, again, what we deal with here is it's not enough to just not get into trouble. Okay, if all we did, you know, sometimes we think, you know, my kid was doing really good until they got running around with the wrong crowd. It's not their fault. They're a good kid. Good kid. You see a lot of news footage about a good kid that now went into a building and into the lives of other good kids. I'm just saying, right? A lot of good kids. And so sometimes they think, well, they were good until they got with this bad crowd. So isn't it convenient that we blame somebody else? We all like to do that, not to just me, but to mine, you know, and this and that. Listen, wisdom says it's not just good enough to keep you out of trouble. It's not just to get rid of the bad influence. You hear what I'm saying to you? But getting the right ones. This is so important. I think it's 50-50 important. They're both important. You can't just get the bad stuff out. Because I'm telling you, if all you do is get the bad stuff out and you don't replace it, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to it. You're going to go back to it. It's going to draw you back over just like it did. Look here. Number one, none of us develop in isolation. None of us develop in isolation. You don't get over by yourself. This is why God created this really interesting thing called church. Right? So we can exhort one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching, right? What day is that? Well, tomorrow, you know, The day's always approaching, isn't it? The coming of the Lord, it's always approaching. So there's this, we don't develop in isolation. Somebody that says, I've visited people and they're like, yeah, I read my Bible and pray every day. I say, well, they say, I don't go to church. I don't believe in organized religion. So you believe in disorganized religion? No, what they want is, I don't want any accountability. I want to just do my own thing. And I like that idea too, by the way. I like the idea of, I just do my own thing. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me when I'm wrong. Man, that feels good. Because you know what? Then I'm always probably pretty right. But we don't develop for the Lord in isolation. God's plan is from faith to faith. It's really His plan. Iron sharpeneth iron, and so doth the countenance of a good friend. God has a plan here. Of this kind of thing. So number two, every life is being shaped by voices. Being shaped by voices. We're talking about the voice of wisdom. There's the voice of wisdom. There's the voice of the froward man. There's the voice of the strange woman, right? And as we see here, there's the voice of good men, right? What we find here. And so number A under that. Someone is always influencing our thinking. Someone's always influencing our thinking and our desires. You ever had your desires influenced? We call that a billboard, right? Or commercial. You ever, like, I'm not hungry at all, and then you watch a commercial, or I just talk about some chocolate ice cream with a brownie underneath that, like a brownie, like a fresh baked brownie. Some chocolate ice cream. As soon as it hits, it starts to melt a little bit. And then they put some of that hot fudge on it. And they get one of those things. And got real hot. And then put a cherry on it. And then they start to eat that thing on there. And you just can almost taste it with them. How many of y'all are kind of tasting it a little bit right now? Yeah, see, I mean, I'm influencing your thinking and your desire, because you're thinking, how many are thinking about, I'm leaving here and going on to Culver's and getting one? And so what can happen, so here's my point. Someone is always influencing our thinking. In what path we're on is who's going to be influencing that. Who we're listening to draws us up to that path. So number three, wisdom directs us to those whose lives are worth following. This is what wisdom does. Directs us to the people that are worth following. Who's worth following? It's a tough one. That's a tough one. Let me just go on and we'll answer this. See, God often uses people to develop wisdom in us. Okay? Does God use His Word? Obviously, clearly. But God uses people, because I already said we don't develop in isolation, right? We're talking about constantly this path. He's talking about there's these paths that draw us away, but then there's also the paths of those of good men. So number one, Solomon began this section by speaking as a father to a son. What greater influence is there than that, right? There's no greater influence than the father. You're like, well, you know, I didn't grow up with the father. Well, neither did I. Okay? So, well, I didn't grow up with the father, so I didn't have that great influence. Neither did I. Right? Well, there wasn't my excuse. I was going to use that one, Pastor. And so, but there's other people. I'm just talking about, it's a great example of what a great influence. And by the way, we find that intended throughout the Scripture. Well, you know, everyone doesn't have that situation, clearly. But let me say this. If you have the, whatever environment that you have, whatever situation you have, be that person that you didn't have. Right? Because I'm not preaching those that aren't here. I wish they had done the right. I do too. But the fact is what we have is us. And God isn't, God doesn't give us scriptures so we can blame others for what they didn't do. Right? Because we all have a list of people we could put on that list of all the things people didn't do. But God gives us this so that we can see what we ought to be. Be what you should be. And so number two, the path of wisdom has always involved learning from those who already walk in it. Okay? We find this through the scripture. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know what he said? Come on with me. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me. Jesus was walking away in the way of Christ. Well, I mean, he was Christ. But he is. But here's this thing of follow me. And be a disciple and go make disciples, he says. So this idea it's found throughout the scriptures. You're like, well, I don't think we should follow man. Well, the Bible teaches us that. Follow people, but follow those that are worth following. And who's worth following? The ones that are walking in it. Not the ones that... I want to say this. I may say it again, but not the ones that talk about it. Not the ones that have a good talk, but the ones that are actually walking the walk. A, good men provide examples of what wisdom looks like in daily life. Am I saying that there's people that are perfect? No. No. And you know, sometimes what it looks like is people that are in the walk and that they also fail. That's what sometimes you see. B, their lives demonstrate the practical outworking of truth. And that's what we're talking about here. Roman numeral 3. I had extra time and I've already burned it all up. That's what I do. Wisdom is seeking to establish righteousness as a way of life. And that's what it says at the end of verse 20. And keep the paths of the righteous. And that idea, keep it, is making it a way of life. A, the paths of the righteous become the pattern for life. They become the pattern. And so, look here. Wisdom is not satisfied with occasional acts of obedience. That's not, well, at least you did all right. I think we give people a break too much. Well, at least I know they meant well. Can we stop that a little bit? Meant well, do you think God is okay with that? You think God's like, well, you know, I think they meant good. I think the problem is when we start thinking God thinks like that. You know, we'll do that. Probably we don't do that with ourselves as much as we do that with other people. And we want to convince them, well, you meant well. I know you were mean and you ripped their face off and you all but cussed them out, right? But you were trying to help them. We'll say things like that, won't we? We'll say things like, well, you know, I know it was... Let's quit doing that a little bit. I think maybe a little bit. We need to just be nice. But let's realize wisdom's not satisfied with occasional acts of obedience. It's really walking in that path, right? Number one, wisdom seeks consistency. Consistency. And a path is something traveled repeatedly. Okay? It's constantly where we're at. B, it becomes the normal direction of life. And that's what we're talking about. This is what the path is what we're talking about, is that normal direction. Can that be your case? More than it can, it ought to be. That ought to be our life. If we're listening to wisdom, when wisdom calls, if we respond to that voice, it's going to be the normal pattern of our life. You ever think, man, I mess up too much to be that? Well, so did everybody that started down that path. Right? B, righteousness is presented as a path rather than a destination. Righteousness is not a destination. It's a path. There's continual growth, a continual learning, and a continual dependence upon God. It's not a one thing. Look at number one. The righteous man is not a man who has arrived. Right? It's not somebody that's already arrived. Well, I've got there. The Apostle Paul says, not as though I had attained. No. He said, later he says this. He says, I press toward the mark. He hasn't Listen, he didn't have the idea that he's arrived at it. Like, man, I'm glad I got there. I wish y'all would get up here. No, he said, I'm still, I want to know Christ. And the fellowship of his suffering, right? He said, I want to know him. I want to know his suffering. Not me. No, I do. But that idea is a little bit there. Number two, he is a man, they're talking about the righteous man, is a man who continues walking in the right direction. See, the voice of wisdom shapes a life into who reflects God. It's shaping a life into someone that reflects God. So we see back there at the beginning, wisdom begins with what? Well, at the beginning of Proverbs, what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord, right? It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we find this, number one, wisdom ultimately produces a life that walks in God's ways. If we'll listen to Him, we'll be in His way. Can I say something that's really interesting? We don't have to try to walk with God. Now listen to what I'm saying. We don't have to try. Man, I'm trying real hard. Stop trying real hard. Listen and respond to the voice of wisdom, and you'll be in that path. Isn't that something, how that works? It's not like we got to try. I just got to try to be better. Man, that's not the... Anyway. Okay. A, the purpose of wisdom is not simply better decisions. It's not simply better decisions. B, the purpose of wisdom is to transform us into what is right. Wisdom called. Wisdom exposed the heart, warned of consequences, was received and pursued. It protected and delivered. We looked at all these things. But none of those things are the final goal. All the things that wisdom does, is none of that's the final goal. The goal was always that a man would walk in the way of good men, and keep the path of righteousness. So, here's the challenge. What is the voice of wisdom producing in your life? I mean, listen, is wisdom more than just something you hear? Or has it become the direction in which you walk? The ultimate evidence that wisdom's been received by us is not that we can talk about it. Right? It's not how much we know. But that it has changed the path that we live in. That's the ultimate evidence. The ultimate evidence is, am I walking in the image of God? I suppose all of us would say, not as well as I'd like to. Right? Maybe if we're walking in that way, I think we probably always say that. But being conformed to His image, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? That's the evidence that wisdom, as wisdom calls, we're listening. And I'm telling you, follow that path. It is the sweet path. It's the sweet one. It's got the sweet water. It's where the thorns don't reside. The thorns are out there on the side where we think it's exciting. Right? That's where it gets sticky. Father, I do pray that You'd help us, Lord, take this, Your word, Your truth, and to, Lord, see the real goal of what You're trying to do, and what You speak to us about, and what You're trying to drive into our heart and our soul and direction. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to not just know Your truth, not to just know wisdom, but that we might respond to her. And Lord, we would not just avoid the paths of evil, but that we would truly be on that path of righteousness. Lord, You've given us a plan, given us others to follow. Lord, pray that You'd have Your will and way in our hearts. Lord, help us to ponder these things this week and in our lives. And we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.